This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:06, and just looking at some of the messages that have come in relation to the stories that we covered in the 6 o'clock hour. So we spoke about two things. Firstly, about the local political situation with Bersatu continuing to generate a whole maelstrom's worth of drama. And after that, talking about some really problematic stuff that's happening in the United States. We're seeing protests break out across the country because of the death of George Floyd. And so we've just been asking you for your thoughts, and you can continue to send those in. MZ says, I didn't vote in the last GE as I was away in another country. I was thoroughly surprised that the then opposition won. And while my friends were all in a celebratory mood, I told them that this is one GE too early. True enough, we're not there yet. Too many frogs and a matter of time before it explodes. And unfortunately, I think a lot of what we're talking about now is just fundamentally stemming from a lot of instability within our political parties and coalitions. You know, everybody is just sort of convenient bedfellows, right? And that's all a part of this search for power, as opposed to being aligned in ways that might truly matter or truly serve the people, which is really, I think, one of the main problems in terms of what we're looking at. Now, on the subject of America, Michael says, well, can't we relate to this? It happens here often enough. And that is certainly a comparison that quite a number of people have made in terms of deaths in custody. And that is definitely something that we're planning to cover later on this week, Michael. So thank you very much for the reminder. And Mohammed Zulfadli says, remember Rodney King in 1992? Yeah, that's what it is now, but multiply by 5 or 10. And also across the country simultaneously and based on most of the state's National Guards being enabled. Sadly, looting will always come into the picture, but never forget what this is initially all about. And absolutely, I think that that's a really important note. And it's also, I think, part of the issue with looking at what gets reported in the news. Because when you are bombarded with the 24-hour news cycle of watching people appear to loot and you don't really know who those people are or what they represent, it becomes really easy to lump everybody on the streets together. And I think that we would want the benefit of doubt here in our country if we were, for whatever reason, talking about something that really, really, truly mattered to us. We would want to be able to distinguish troublemakers and people who are on the streets out of, you know, a true belief. So yeah, I think that that's a really important note. If you have any thoughts about the protests happening in the United States, or for that matter, the ongoing political drama happening on a local level, you can, of course, call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, it is 7:09, and we're now looking at combating corruption in businesses. So this is coming as the Prime Minister's Office released a statement saying that it will enforce Section 17A of the MACC Act 2009, and that is going to start today. And it's aimed at punishing commercial organizations for corruption. So what this means really is that even if corrupt practices were carried out by employees without a company's knowledge, the company would still be held liable for not preventing them from doing so. This new component was gazetted in May 2018, and the PMO said that it reflects the government's commitment to tackle corruption and ensure good corporate governance. So it's a big move because it's the first time since Pakatan Harapan won GE14 and also are now no longer in power really. But anyway, that we're seeing a new corporate liability law actually being implemented. Policy experts have also anticipated it after it was reported in February that AirAsia and AirAsia X allegedly accepted a $50 million bribe from Airbus. And they believe that the new law will help prevent future cases like this and also clean up Malaysia's corporate image. So we're going to be diving into how this is actually going to assist in combating corruption in businesses. And to do that with us, we're going to be crossing over to Dato Vignesh Kumar of Vignesh Kumar and Associates. That's coming your way shortly. If you have questions or thoughts, the numbers again, 7733-2900 to call, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Banish fraudulent manoeuvres. BFM 89.9.
It is 7:12 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. We're talking now about a new measure to help combat corruption in business. And so what's happening is that the PMO has said that they're going to enforce Section 17A of the MACC Act 2009, and that is aimed at punishing commercial organisations for corruption. Now, we're crossing over to Datuk Viknesh Kumar, advocate and solicitor at Viknesh Kumar & Associates, also formerly a deputy public prosecutor at the AG Chambers. Dr. Viknesh, thank you so much for joining us. Could you explain to us what corporate liability means in the context of corruption and how the enforcement of Section 17A would actually address this?
Okay, the new Section 17A is a very important development as far as corporate law is concerned. Because before this, as far as the law of corruption is concerned, the liability is only against any particular individual. But for the first time, corporations, i.e. Companies or other business entities will be made liable for any breach of the corruption law. And of course, one may ask, how would a corporate company or any business entity would be made liable? If one were to look at the new Section 17A that I've mentioned, it simply makes it clear that if any of its persons, i.e. any person who is connected to the company, commits any act of corruption, the company can be made liable to that. So with that, companies can no longer hide behind the fact that it has not committed the act of corruption, because if anyone, as I said, you know, who's connected to the company, be it the director, the controller, officer, or any other person carrying out any activities for the company, commits the act of corruption or bribery, then that liability will be imputed to the company.
Right. And could you walk us through some examples of scenarios where Section 17A would be relevant and which companies it will cover?
Okay. Now, if an employee at a working level bribes a government official, for example, you know, a lot of companies have their own buildings, and in order to get building clearance, you need a certificate from the fire and rescue department. So assuming one of the employee offer a bribe to a fire inspection officer, and he makes a report to the MACC, then the officer of the company had committed the offense of corruption, for argument's sake. Then that liability could be imputed to the company, because he was carrying out an act on behalf of the company. Okay. Now, a second example is in the cases of developers. You know, when developers, you know, starts on a project, they need various approvals. So if it is shown or proven that any of their employees bribed any officials to get certain approvals done, then that liability transfers to the company, and the company can be made liable if they are found guilty. Now, the second question, what kind of companies does it include? This section is also very interesting, because this section does not discriminate companies that has been incorporated in the country or foreign companies, as long as the company has business operations in Malaysia, Section 17A will definitely come into play. So whether the company is Malaysian or the company is a foreign company, that would not matter, so long as they have business presence in Malaysia.
Okay, and what would be the penalties to the organisation?
Okay, if you were to look at Section 17A, the penalty is, I would say, stiff. You know, they can be fined up to RM 1 million or not less than 10 times the value of the bribe, whichever that is higher, or prison sentence, not more than 20 years or both. So the, I would say the sentence is stiff. Therefore, there's a lot of you know, query going around as to you know, as to this section, because the penalty is definitely stiff.
Right, and you know, I assume that there would be some concern on the part of companies about this, right? So, are there any measures in place to protect companies in the event that an act of gratification or corruption was really beyond their control, so to speak?
Now, the other important aspect of this law is that the board has to make sure that there is a guideline or a standard operating procedure in play. You know, because if you look at the deeming provision of this section, it makes the director, the controller, officer, partner, or whoever who is concerned with the management of the company to be liable in the event the company is found liable as well, unless the person could show that the offense was committed without his consent or connivance, or if the board exercised due diligence to prevent the commission of that offense. That means the board now will have to take a very proactive measure to first of all address this issue. You know, they will have to make a policy decision, a policy statement, and they will also have to create an internal procedure, an internal regulation as to how they deal with the situation. For example, they need to come out with a standard operating procedure as to how the employees would approach certain risk areas. For example, you know, I told you about getting the government approval for certain projects. So now they cannot just say that, you know, the working level employees should go on and do what they please. But the board and any other person who concerns themselves with the management will have to come out with a crystal clear policy, an internal guideline as to how their employees should approach these very delicate matters.
Will these adjustments require a lot of additional resources to execute? And given that it's kicking off right now in this time of the pandemic, do you think most companies will be able to cope with these demands?
Well, it is very true that the enforcement of this act comes at a very difficult time for corporate Malaysia, especially with the ongoing pandemic has disrupted a lot of supply chain and companies are trying their best to readjust themselves to the new norm. But like it or not, this amendment came into force in 2018 and the government has deferred it for almost 2 years before bringing this section into force. So I think with coming into force of this, the companies obviously will have to spend a little more to ensure that these rules are strictly adhered to, because the consequences are huge. Before I go on, I must say that Section 17A may be included as a serious offence under the Anti-Money Laundering Act. And that means if there is any offence committed by the company, the company's accounts could be frozen as well under the AMLA provisions. So the consequences are big. And I think if the company were to invest a little for the long term, then it would definitely outweigh the costs that they would eventually spend on this.
You mentioned earlier that part of what companies are going to have to do is come up with crystal clear policies for themselves. Does the MACC provide comprehensive guidelines for companies to follow?
The MACC has a guideline in their website. They call it the Trust Guideline, where they basically have said that there must be top-level management, there must be risk assessment, the board must have undertaken control measures, there must be systematic review, and also there must be training provided to the workforce. But what we have at the moment is something that is quite general from MACC, but that doesn't mean that the companies just do a lip service in complying with this act. The companies obviously could obtain professional services. They could, you know, follow models of other countries, because this Section 17A has already been practiced in UK and in the US, and they could adopt some of the best practices from these countries. But definitely something must be done. And these are sweeping changes in as far as corporate law is concerned. And we would definitely advocate the management to look beyond the MACC guidelines, because from what I said, the guidelines are quite general in nature. But obviously, it's a good start, it's a broad-based policy that they should adhere to. But you know, in order to be in complete compliance with this new section, obviously the company will have to be more specific. Must be willing to implement strict guidelines that benefits the companies and its employees.
Right. So in line with that, can the government provide any forms of support in order to help companies get in line with these new requirements?
What form of support? Obviously, the government could provide tax incentive. Means that if the company were to spend some money in conducting training programs or conducting systematic reviews and so on, the cost should be tax deductible, because especially in this current environment where the companies are required to spend, therefore government could actually alleviate some of that burden, some of that concern, by providing tax relief for these programs. Number two, the government itself could issue a more clearer guideline compared to the one that we have right now, to make it a little more helpful for the smaller companies if they were to adopt the guidelines that have been given by the government. Thirdly is the government could increase budget for MACC for them to provide some training for these companies to increase the workforce of MACC, to have officers dedicated, you know, to promote this act. And I think that at this initial stage, a lot of educational and promotional activities is necessary to educate companies rather than punishing them immediately if they find any offences committed under this section. So these are some of the steps that can be taken by the government in order to ensure that there is a smooth transition between pre-Section 17A and post-Section 17A in corporate Malaysia.
Okay, and one last question before you go. Do you think that Section 17A will have a significant impact on how business is conducted in the private sector?
Yes, I would believe so, because all this while, most of the corruption cases that we have seen, it concerns individual. And corporate corruption is so severely underreported because it was not a crime. And a majority of board of directors takes a view that whatever that is done by their employees to secure contracts or to retain certain contracts does not concern the company, does not affect the board, because the board can always hide behind this and say we did not have knowledge. But with this deeming provision, which puts the company and the board under scrutiny, I believe companies and the board would be a lot more careful, would have stringent internal mechanism to deal with these things. And obviously, this would improvise the company's relationship with the public sector, because if there is no supply, obviously there would not be, sorry, if there's no demand, obviously there would not be supply, because corruption works both ways. So I believe 17A definitely would be sweeping in its effect, and we hope, my only hope is that 17A is used effectively without any abuse in the system. Otherwise, it will not work.
Datuk Vignesh, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Datuk Vignesh Kumar, advocate and solicitor at Vignesh Kumar and Associates, and formerly a deputy public prosecutor at the AG Chambers. And we've been talking, as mentioned, about the fact that Section 17A of the MACC Act 2009 is going to be enforced starting today. So the hope here is that it's going to have a real impact in terms of combating corruption in business. Now, we do have a message here from KW, who says, yes, apply this law to the government as well, so that we can punish the government when their officers bribe. And that is an interesting comment, in no small part because when we were talking about private companies earlier, and you think about the scale at which private companies operate, when you extend that to the concept of a ministry, then it's really, I mean, it's a huge workforce that you have to be responsible for. But I would imagine that a lot of what we heard our guest talking about, which are those crystal clear policies, the idea of what is okay and what isn't, it would be good to have that drawn up in any organization, whether we're talking about state level or whether we're talking about private. And for what it's worth, I mean, people within the government, as we know, are not exempt from the MACC Act, so there is that. But whether or not ministries will be held to account is quite another matter. Now, if you would like to continue weighing in, you can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Now we have Charles Bradley with No Time for Dreaming, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.